looks like I have a few more minutes than I thought. Shall we read again the scripture that we have for our retreat? It's in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Dear sisters, you are this bride. And can you join the Spirit and say, come, Lord Jesus? Why you don't say, come, Lord Jesus? Shall we say it together? Come, Lord Jesus. You know, for all those among you who have gotten married in their life, our wedding day is the most important day of our whole life. And when you think about it, every bride that I know of wants her wedding day to be absolutely perfect. And so when the wedding date is set, you know, you modern brides go online and you get this wedding planner and it's full of ideas and there are checklists what you need to do and deadlines, and then you go and enlist all your friends and your family and the whole church to help you prepare for this wedding day. Now there are lots, probably thousands of details to decide and to plan for. Think about it. You need to decide if you have a church wedding or a garden wedding or a beach wedding. And then the ceremony, who should be in the ceremony, how should the vows be done, the music, the songs, and you decide on the pastor and what the parents and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen and what everybody's supposed to do, how should they look like, who is going to be the flower girl and the ring bearer. And you go down the checklist and it gets longer and longer. And you have to think about the invitation. Whom do we leave out? Who can come to the reception? And then you decide on the restaurant, on the entertainment, and of course the food and the wedding cake, very important. And then you have to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, and you have to go to maybe Target and a few other places, and you fill up a gift registry so your wedding guests will know what you want and what they should give you. Then you need to plan your honeymoon and the apartment or the house you're going to live in. And then, most important of all, you have to go to the bridal store and you have to look for a wedding dress and the veil and the shoes and the jewelry and the handbag and shoes and ring and everything. So there is a whole lot of things that you need to get ready for the biggest day of your life. Now, when Jesus was on this earth, Jewish weddings were a little different than our weddings nowadays. You know, the young man that wants to get married and has seen this girl somewhere, you know, he comes to the house and he brings a contract and he proposes. And if the girl says yes, then the groom or the new groom will say to his bride-to-be, after she accepted the contract and she agreed to marry him, he will make a little speech and then he will say, I go to prepare a place for you. And then this groom goes home and he builds a bridal chamber for their honeymoon. Now he builds that bridal chamber in his father's house. Now he wants to get it done very fast, you know. This girl is awfully nice and he wants to get his bride home. But the person that decides when this bridal chamber is ready is the father. He will inspect it and he will decide when that place is ready and his son can go get his bride. But until then, the son does not know his own wedding date. You know, he works on this bridal chamber. Father comes by, looks at it. He says, you need to do some more work. And time gets longer and longer. And then, of course, he need to furnish this new place, this bridal chamber, because he and his bride will spend their 7-day honeymoon in this chamber there. Now, it may take up to 2 years to finish everything. Of course, if the son, the groom, is a carpenter, he can finish it faster. But the father makes sure he's building something good. And so the father is the one who plans and puts on the wedding feast and sets the dates and invites the guests. And then the day comes, he says to his son, okay, the bridal chamber is ready. You can go now and get your bride. And the son rushes off to get her. We will talk about that a little later. Now, what is the bride doing in the meantime? She's waiting for the groom to return, but she also doesn't know the wedding date. She only knows it will take some time for him to build their little honeymoon mansion. And in the meantime, she is getting herself ready for the wedding. She has to get a wedding dress ready and all the other different things. Now, as time goes by, she will say, well, it must be closer now. He must have built something by now. And so she packs her bags for travel. And she also gets an oil lamp ready and extra oil to travel because the bridegroom may show up in the middle of the night. And she doesn't have a flashlight. So she has to have something to light her way. And also the bridesmaids need to get ready. Now, when Jesus was talking about him going to heaven, he had this Jewish wedding custom in mind when he told his disciples and us his bride. He said to them, John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our bridegroom says exactly the same thing. He says, I will go and prepare a place for you. Now, I already told you that the bride, in the meantime, need to get herself some things ready here for her wedding. My grandmother was born in 1887. That was before your time. And I remember when I used to go in our garage, she still had some old gadgets from where she was young. It was some things, a spinning wheel, and some things where you stretch and comb flax and make thread. And when she was young, that's what a bride had to do. They had to take flax, they had to spin, they had to make thread, they had to sew, they had to quilt, to knit and crochet and embroider and work very, very hard to get the things ready for their wedding and for their new household. So brides at that time and even later on had hope chests. This was probably a cedar chest where she collects all the things for her future life. And so these brides would make or buy or collect things like they had hand-woven bed sheets. Takes a long time to make one like that. And then quilts and tablecloths and dish towels. And then, of course, she would collect dishes and all kinds of other treasures. So it was really, really very important because at that time, if you didn't prepare, you didn't have anything. There was no Walmart or Bed Bath & Beyond where you can go for last-minute shopping for your household. There were no credit cards. You buy now and pay later. You had to work very hard to lay up treasures for your married life. Now, the Bible tells us something very important. It tells us that our hope chest is in heaven, not on earth. After all, our wedding will take place in heaven. I want to read you Matthew 16, 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves break in or steal. What that means, be supposed to lay up treasures that is fit for the bride of a king. That means a beautiful wedding gown, and then, of course, jewels and pearls and gold and silver and many, many treasures. So, dear sisters, we are going to be married to the King of Kings. So we supposed to lay up treasures fitting for the bride of a king in heaven. Now, the Bible tells us what these treasures are, and we will look at some of them. The first treasure is wisdom. I want to read Proverbs 2, 4, and 5. If you seek her, that is wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So the first treasure is wisdom, knowledge of God. That means knowing him, not with our head, but with our heart. And the fear of the Lord is to fear him to the point of obedience. This another treasure is love, love for God, more than anything else in this world, more than our own life. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Deuteronomy 6:5, this is what God calls a treasure. And you remember the little widow that was in the temple when Jesus was there, and she put these few little coins in the treasury, and Jesus called his disciples and said, you know, this widow put more in than all these rich people, because out of her poverty, she put it in all she had to live on. That shows her dedication and her love for God. Another treasure is that the Bible talks about is loving others. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39. And John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a treasure that you can put and deposit it in your heavenly hope chest. And then, of course, the treasure of Christ himself. We read that 2 Corinthians 4:7. It talks about the Lord Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus is supposed to fill our entire being. Let's look at another treasure. Ephesians 1:7. Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. God's wisdom, God's knowledge are eternal treasures. And then, for our hope chest, another treasure, the word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Psalm 119:11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart. These are all things moth and rust will not destroy. And these are things that will not pass away. But when we collect these treasures, they will wait for us in heaven for our wedding day. Another treasure is faith. Seeing by faith beyond this present world. We read Hebrews 11:13:26. By faith, Moses, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. I saw recently some TV programs, and they were talking and showing treasures from King Tut's tomb in Egypt. And when you see the elaborate treasures they have, and the pyramids they built, and all these amazing things these people did, you realize how much Moses turned down. He turned it down because he was looking forward by faith to Christ, and he chose him above all the treasures of Egypt. So faith is a treasure that we can collect for our heavenly treasure chest. And then there are other treasures the Bible talks about. Treasures of good work, good works, generosity, and sharing. I want to read 1 Timothy 6:18. It talks about to instruct those that have something. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed, something that doesn't pass away, that we can find in heaven again. Matthew 19:21. If you wish to be complete, Jesus said to this young ruler, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There are other treasures that we can store up, that is fruit from our life. You know, Jesus left you here, and you may be walking this earth for 20, 30, 40 years after your salvation. And he left you here so you will bring fruit for eternity. John 15:16, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. It should remain so when you go to heaven and you open the treasure chest that you prepared for your wedding, there should be many fruits from your life. And then the last treasure that I want to mention that we should collect or need to collect for our treasure chest in heaven are souls. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And in Luke 15:7, he talks about how when one person comes to salvation, the whole heaven will rejoice over one sinner who repents. So these are all things that you should collect for your hope chest in heaven. Now, I don't know how long you have been saved. Have you collected any of these treasures? Are they waiting for you in heaven? So what do you think is in your heavenly hope chest? Think about it. Do you know if you got anything in there? You should take some time and think deeply about what have you collected so far. Well, we can take a look. Oh, there is a wedding gown. And there is a label. It says Goodwill Store, $3.50. And there is a bracelet. Oh, let's look at it. It's from Dollar General for 25 cents. And there is a ring in that heavenly treasure box. When you look at it, oh, it is from a Cracker Jack box. And there is a string of pearls. When you look at it, it was 50 cents from a vending machine. Just imagine if, when you get to heaven, you find these things in your heavenly treasure box, and the wedding is going to be today, and you're supposed to dress yourself with what is in your treasure box and walk down the aisle, and Jesus, your King, will be waiting. So what do? You put the Goodwill thing on for $3.50, and you put the bracelet from Dollar General and the ring from the Cracker Jack box and the pearls from the vending machine, and then you are walking down the aisle and there is Jesus, your Savior. Imagine that, standing there. And he has given his life for you. He died on the cross. And this is what you have prepared. What do you think he will be thinking? And then it's not only Jesus there, but there are all the angels of heaven. They have all come to attend the wedding. And they see you in this $3.50 dress and the 25 cents jewelry. What will they say? And what will the Heavenly Father say? I'm sure they will talk. These angels, they will say, did you see that? I wonder why the bride of the king didn't prepare anything of value. And others will say, other angels will say, how much does she really love the Son of God? According to what she is wearing, her love can't be very great. You know, actually, what we prepare or the lack of what we prepare reveals much about our love and our relationship to the Lord Jesus. Because Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So if your heart is not in heaven, and if your heart is not thinking about the Lord Jesus, like Janice explained to us in the last session, then where is your heart? Where is it? Well, if you have only dime store stuff in your heavenly treasure, where are then all the valuables? They must be here on earth. If they are not up there, they must be here on earth. So what are the things you accumulate here? What do you spend your time and resources on? Is it your job, positions, possessions, looks, the latest fashion, entertainment, internet, shopping malls, the beach, and 1,000 other things? If you think today about that you may see your Savior very soon, he's coming so soon, and if your heavenly treasure chest doesn't have anything of value, you need to make changes while you still have time. How do you make these changes? You need to change your focus from this earth to heaven. Colossians 3:1-2 says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. You need to change your focus from earth to heaven. And then you need to change what you love. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So how do you switch what you love? How can you switch? Dear sister, the more you start spending time with Jesus, the more you will get to know him, and the more you will love him. Your love will grow if you spend time with him. And then your heart and longing will be more in heaven than on all these passing things that are on earth. And you will look for opportunities to store up treasures in heaven. Now our bride is preparing for the big day. She is collecting all these wonderful treasures so she be ready for the wedding. But we already said she doesn't know the wedding date. Now we know our wedding date, you know, and we circle the calendar. When we know our wedding date, we put a big mark or an X on the date in our calendar. And we watch the calendar. You know, we start a countdown. We cross out days. Every day that is passed, we cross it out. And then it's 6 months till the wedding, and then 3 months, 1 month, 2 weeks, 5 days, 2 days. Wedding is tomorrow. And then, of course, we watch the deadlines for our preparations. You know, we need to mail the invitations at the right time. We need to rent things. We need to order cake and flowers. And we go to the bridal store for our fitting of the dress. And then you make appointments at the spa and the saloon to do your hair and be so pretty. And then we watch our weight and our appearance. We want to look our very best. So many brides go for exercise and they start dieting and they eat better than before. And they are watching out that they don't eat too much ice cream, otherwise the wedding dress won't fit anymore. That's how we watch and wait for our wedding. But Jewish brides, they were also watching and waiting. You know, this bride, this Jewish bride, she is watching for signs of the coming of her groom. She haven't seen him since the proposal. That's how they did it at that time. You saw him at the proposal, next time you see him when he's coming to get you for the wedding. So, and the arrival of this Jewish groom will be a complete surprise. And usually in the middle of the night. So this bride, this Jewish bride, she will watch her calendar, but she has no date she can circle. But she may calculate, you know, how long does it take average to build a bridal chamber. And she may go and ask her friends that are gotten married, how long did you have to wait? And one will say it was a year, and another will say a year and a half, and one will say, I waited 2 years. And then, of course, she will also watch, I imagine that, for reports from the construction site, you know. If the groom is from the next village or even from the same community, perhaps her neighbor saw the groom at the lumber yard buying 2x4s. And perhaps the neighbor overheard how things were going along, you know. Or perhaps one of her friends were walking by the groom's house or the father's house of the groom and saw some walls going up. So she may hearing some of these reports. But there is one sign she is watching and waiting for, and that is a shout in the middle of the night. You know, when the Jewish groom is picking up his bride, when the father says, okay, the bridal chamber is ready, you can go get your bride, he will have some of his wedding party with him, and they will go in the middle of the night. And then when they approach the bride's house, one person in the wedding party, when they are just a few minutes away, will shout. That shout leaves the bride just enough time to put her dress on, tell her parents he is coming, and her bridesmaids, and then She has to grab her bags and leave with the wedding party for the wedding. So she is waiting day after day to hear this shout. Imagine that. I imagine the bride leaves her windows and shutters open at night so she won't miss the shout, even when it is raining. She wants to hear that shout. That's what she is living for. And then, since it is a complete surprise when the groom comes, the bride needs to keep watching and waiting and listening continually. And then she needs to be ready every day for the next year or two until he comes. I imagine every evening she goes and washes and curls her hair, and she goes to bed looking like Cinderella, just in case he will come that night. She wants to look her best for the wedding, but she doesn't know when it is, so she has to look every day her best. And when she goes to bed, her wedding dress is laid out, her veil is there, her shoes, her jewelry, her bag is all ready. The Lord Jesus, our bridegroom, told us, his bride, to watch for the signs of his coming as well. Now, we have a number of chapters in the Bible that tells us what these signs are. One is Matthew chapter 24 and then Luke chapter 21, 10 through 36. It talks about there will be deceptions and wars and famines and earthquakes and persecution, and false Christs will come, and the fig tree will start blossom, and the gospel will be preached. Now, some of these things talk about the rapture, and some parts talk about when Jesus comes back after the wedding has taken place in heaven. But Jesus says some very specific things we need to watch for. And I want to read you just a few of these things. He said to watch for these signs of his coming. Luke 21, 28, Jesus said, "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And then Matthew 24, 32 through 33, it says here, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door." Now, the fig tree is a picture of Israel. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel became an independent nation after more than 2,000 years about not being there on the map as a nation. And one of the prophecies is fulfilled. Jews from all over the world are going back to Israel. And Jesus said, when that begins to take place, know that I'm right at the door. And then another very important sign, Matthew 24, 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." Is the gospel preached all over the world? It's getting there. It is very, very near. And then, of course, shout and the trumpet, and Janice already read us this scripture. It says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we will be caught up in the air with him. So we also are watching for the signs of his coming. And they are very clear, these signs, and they are very close. They indicate Jesus is very, very close to coming to get us, like the Jewish bridegroom gets his bride. And then Jesus was also saying that he will come very suddenly. And he says in Matthew 24:36, but of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone, like the Jewish father of the groom. And then Matthew 24:44, for this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And then that wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So what does all this mean for us? We are the bride of Christ. What does that mean for you? It means we need to keep watching and waiting and listening for the shout continually. And we need to be ready every day of our life to leave with him in a moment's notice. So, dear sisters, how do we wait for Jesus? Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Are we waiting and saying every day, come, Lord Jesus? Sometimes, actually oftentimes, or most of the times, we are so busy with our life, with the things here on earth, that we don't even have the thought of he could come today. So if he would come today, how would he find us? Waiting for him, longing for him? Or would he find us totally unprepared? Or would he find us wishing he came later? Because there is just now a sale going on at Ross. And we don't want to miss that. Imagine this Jewish bride said to herself, oh, my groom will not come for another 6 months. I think I will go off for some vacation and see the pyramids in Egypt. Or I will get a job 100 miles from my home. Don't worry, I'll be back before the wedding. But what if the wedding is 3 months earlier than she thought? The shout comes, but she can't hear it in Egypt. And the groom arrives and don't find his bride waiting for him. The wedding feast is prepared and the bride is missing. No, this bride in Jesus' time, she will make sure she is home every evening. She will not stay out after 2 o'clock or until 2 o'clock in the morning. She will be home early. She does not want to take the risk to miss the groom. So how will Jesus find us if he came today? Dear sister, did you make any progress in your wedding preparations since you got saved? Is your heavenly home hope chest, does it have anything in there for the wedding? Are you watching and waiting? Or are you so deeply involved in the world? Are you ready to go with him? I'm married more than 38 years, but I still remember after I was engaged, my husband just a few days later had to leave for the United States. We were engaged in Germany to go to Bible college. And the next time I would see him would be just a few days before the wedding. He would fly back for the wedding. And I remember how much I waited for this day to come. Every day, one day closer, I was so glad. And then the day came, and I went to the airport to pick him up. At the airport, I had to wait for his plane to land. You know, the airport is full of shops and restaurants and things to do. You know, but I can tell you, I was not interested in airport shopping and eating and reading magazines and doing crossword puzzles. I was looking 1,000 times to the board that tells when the flight landed. And then when I found out the flight landed, I would listen to every announcement. You know, sometimes there are last minute gate changes or delays or something. Now, after his flight had touched down, I was waiting again. I had to wait for him to get out of the plane, to go through immigration, go get his luggage, go through customs. I can't see him. They have this door, you know. And you are staring at the door. And every time the door opens, I hope it's him. But one person after another comes out, and you don't dare to look away from the door. And at the same time, you have 1,000 butterflies in your stomach. And finally, he came. But what about the Lord Jesus? Do we wait for Jesus with any less anticipation? Dear sisters, if we do, then our love is very, very small. Like Janice was saying, you know, every day we should be getting up excited. Perhaps today is the day the Lord Jesus comes back to get us. Today is a day closer to his coming. I don't know where you are in your preparation and in your watching and waiting. Dear sister, your wedding date, our wedding to the Lord Jesus, is the most important thing in the whole universe. Look at the things that you are involved in. Look at the things that are so important to you right now. What do you need to change in your life to be ready to say with great joy, Lord Jesus, come, come today. I want to see you more than anything else in this world. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, you died for us. And you said that you come back to get us. So many times we have not been waiting for you. But you are so faithful. And you already told us that you are so very, very near. Lord, please help us to lift up our heads and recognize that our redemption is drawing near, that we will go to be with you for all eternity, and that we will go with great joy and stand before you with great joy. We have to change many things in our lives. Lord, let us make a decision today that we will change our lives so we will honor you by waiting for you every day with great longing. Thank you that you are so close. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.